Chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Two short but very powerful verses. Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. May the Lord bless this reading of His holy word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for these words of encouragement. Lord, we ask a blessing upon Pastor Craig as he delivers Your message from this very important doctrinal book, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jeff. It is... It's great to be back at the pulpit after my rather lengthy break. The break was nice, but I'm ready to be back. I'm ready to be back. Got my son all married off. I'm good to go now. All right. Before we dig into this passage this morning, I have some news that I feel like I need to share with you. And I've been very reluctant to do so. In fact, so much so that I don't even know that I want to tell you. I've gone back and forth with this, trying to decide if I wanted to share this news with you or not, because I have to tell you, it's a scary thing for me, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, especially now that you're probably so curious, you're not even sure you want to hear it. Some of you already know about this, but here it goes. Back in April, there was a couple here in the church that have some friends who gave a boat to the church. I was able to sell that boat, and as a result, River Valley Bible Church added $1,200 to our building fund. That's it. Yeah, you're looking at me like, what's bad about that? I mean, that's wonderful news. That's great news. We're $1,200 closer to a building. Why? Why in the world would you ever be ashamed or afraid to share news like that? That's my question exactly. Why? This is really good news. Why are we sometimes ashamed to share the good news of Jesus Christ? I mean, it's great news. It is wonderful news. Why would we ever be ashamed to share such good news? Why would we ever have that kind of attitude in sharing the good news about Jesus Christ? Why would we be afraid or fearful to tell somebody about salvation from sin and eternal life in heaven? Why would we be afraid to do that with our coworkers, our family, our friends, our neighbors? Why are we ashamed? The news is good. It's about a rescue from sin. Now, I hope I didn't shake some of you up too bad. Some of you still look like you're waiting for the axe to fall. But I couldn't think of really a better way to illustrate what we're going to be looking at this morning. This topic. This morning, I think rather than looking at the reasons why we do sometimes act as though we're ashamed of the gospel, I want to look at three great and grand reasons why we should not be ashamed. And I pray that we, myself included, because I got to tell you, I've been there. I have been there where I'm actually weighing out, should I share the gospel with this guy or not? I've been there. Just what is there to weigh out? So I pray that we, myself included, would become as bold as Paul for the gospel of Jesus Christ as we look at three reasons, three reasons why Paul was not ashamed. And our subject this morning is be not ashamed from Romans chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 16 and 17 only. Now keep in mind that Paul has already described in this letter that he is willingly a slave of Christ. He's also clearly communicated that we too, as saints of God, as God's children, are called to proclaim the gospel. He's explained his heart for ministry and now tells us in these two verses why he is not ashamed of this ministry. In fact, let's go ahead and read verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 again. It says here, Paul says, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek." Why was Paul not ashamed? Well, first of all, the gospel grants good news. Period. The gospel grants good news. There are numerous things in my life that I am ashamed of. Okay? Very ashamed of. I am ashamed to tell you this morning that back in high school, I cheated. I got grades in high school that I did not deserve. I am ashamed. I sat by smart students. I'm not ashamed that I sat by smart students. I'm ashamed that I cheated off of them. Okay? I'm ashamed of that. I am ashamed that I lived a promiscuous lifestyle in my late teens and early 20s. I am ashamed of that. I am ashamed that I have broken many of God's holy standards. I am ashamed that I've broken the laws of our country. These are all bad news items. These are all things that one should indeed be rightfully ashamed of, and I am. I am. But I was not ashamed to tell everyone 25 years ago that my lovely bride and I were getting married. I was not ashamed of that. I was not ashamed 22 years ago to tell everybody that we had a little baby boy. I was not ashamed 17 and a half years ago to tell everybody that I had a little baby girl. And I was not ashamed over the past few weeks and months to tell everybody that my son is getting married. I was not ashamed of these things. So why? These are all great messages. We would never dream of being ashamed of these things. So why would anyone fear or be ashamed to share the gospel message? Why would Paul even bring this up? I mean, it seems like such a hard thing to fathom that we would be afraid to share good news. But he brings it up because we are sometimes, aren't we? We are. He brings it up here. Where am I here? Yeah, why would he be ashamed to bring it up? Well, think about it this way, and I think he's bringing it up because we've all been there. We've all been there. I'm gonna use you as an example here for a minute. You ready for this? I have Bruce. Some wonderful news for you. This is really, really good news, okay? You're going to be excited about this news, Bruce. You ready? Here it comes. Out of the kindness of my heart, and because, Bruce, I love you so much, I want to be the one to bail you out of jail next week. Now, is that good news? Is that good? It is good news, but it also implies that sometime between now and next week, Bruce is getting in some trouble. And that's really what the gospel message communicates as well. It is wonderful news, but it also implies some things that people don't want to hear and may even deny. That is the gospel message. And Paul is saying that regardless of how painful the news may be to accept, okay? Paul is saying that regardless of how painful it is, it does not change the fact that it is good news. It is good news. All right. He says, I am not ashamed to deliver it. The gospel means good, it means good message. That's really what the word means, okay? The word gospel is actually an Anglo-Saxon, two Anglo-Saxon words combined into one. The word God and the word spell. And they combine into one word. God obviously refers to the creator deity of the universe. The word spell actually means story. So gospel is simply God's story. And the word, when we find that word gospel in the scripture, if we go back to the original language, the word that we're going to find there is evangelion. Does that word sound familiar? Evangelist? An evangelist is one who goes around sharing what? God's story. God's story. The good news. The gospel. All right? So the gospel means good news. The gospel is the news of Christ. It is the story of how God came to earth in human flesh to live a perfect sinless life so that he could take the sins of you and I, the sins of the world, upon himself, die on that cross, taking the penalty that we deserve for sin, and then rising again from the dead to offer any and all who will believe eternal life. That's good news. That's good news. The gospel is the news of Christ. The gospel is an offer for rescue. Whether a person wants to hear it or not, man is a sinner. Period. If a person has sinned, he is a sinner. In fact, in Ecclesiastes 7:20, it says this, "For there is not a just man on the earth who does good and does not sin." And what that is telling us is that there are people on the earth that look good to you and I, okay? But the bottom line is, they're a sinner. They're a sinner. And Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing." So even those people that look good to you and I, they're sinners. They have secret sins, and God knows about them. But because God loves us, he sent Jesus to offer a rescue. In 1 John 4:10 it says, "And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation." That is the satisfaction, or really payment, for our sins. Now that is good news. But it also implies that we are sinners who are in trouble. The news is good, but it comes by way of facts that we may not want to hear, or we may even deny. That is the gospel message. And Paul is saying again, regardless of how painful the news may be to accept, it does not change the fact that it is good news. And therefore, I am not ashamed to deliver it. Secondly, this morning, Paul was not ashamed because the gospel provides power. The gospel provides power. Listen to the second half of verse 16 again. It says, "For it," the gospel, "is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek." There have been a lot of powerful words spoken in the world, words that have inspired many people to do great and wonderful things. John F. Kennedy inspired a nation by saying, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." Eleanor Roosevelt said, "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams." George Eliot said, "It is never too late to be what you might have been." Albert Einstein said, try not to become a man of success, but rather try to become a man of value. Henry Ford said, there is no man living that cannot do more than he thinks he can. These are all very powerful words, but they all have one very dreadful thing in common. They are all limited to this world. They are all limited to this life, and they are completely and utterly powerless pertaining to after death. So there does come a time when it is too late to become what you might have been. The British philosopher James Allen, a relative? James Allen, he lived between 1864 and 1912. He was considered the pioneer of the self-help movement. No, he wasn't. All right, very good. That was good. That was really good. He said this, the dreamers are the saviors of the world. Well, I am certain that right now he is ashamed of those words. He is ashamed of those words because no dreamer ever saved anyone from an eternity separated from God. His words were limited to this world. This is why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, because only the gospel message provides power that propels beyond this life. According to our passage, this power is from God. This is what makes the gospel so powerful. The word power that is used here in the original language is actually the word that we get our English word dynamite or dynamo from. But that description really doesn't do the word justice because we think of something man-made. As we look at man's power and compare it to God's power, there really is no comparison. And just to give us something to wrap our minds around, I want to attempt to give us a picture of the difference between God's power and man's power. Okay? Think about this. The largest bomb ever created by man was rated at the equivalent of 100 megatons of dynamite. And just to give you an idea of how much that is, they built the bomb. They never detonated it. In fact, when they decided to test it, they actually made one half the size, 50 megatons of dynamite, and detonated it. And that bomb was twice the size of what was dropped on Japan in 1945. Just to give you an idea. And man has created one twice that. Twice, or actually four times what was dropped on Japan. 100 megatons of dynamite. Here's the power that God has. The sun, which God uses to sustain life on Earth, get this, generates the energy equivalent of 90 billion megatons of dynamite every second. Every second. And God's power is life-sustaining power. It is constructive power, not destructive power. That is the power of God. Now, lest we become confused, we're not talking about dynamite here in God's Word. We're simply talking about how powerful God's message is. There is no more powerful words than God's gospel message. And according to our passage, this power is from God, but also this power is unto salvation. The gospel message shows man how to be rescued from the penalty of his sin. It can propel us from death and separation from God to an eternity in heaven and in God's presence. Man has developed a lot of powerful things. We have propelled man to a longer life, kind of. We have propelled communication and technology to not only a microscopic level, but a worldwide level. We have propelled man across the ocean, across the skies, and even to the moon and back. But no power of man has ever propelled a person unto salvation and eternal life. But the gospel message can. According to our passage also, this power is to those who believe. Believe what? The message. The message. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came to earth to live a sinless life because we can't. And then taking all of the sins of the world upon himself, he received the penalty that we deserve. He received the bruises. He received death. He died on that cross in our place. And when we believe and put the full weight of our trust in who he is and what he has done for us, we are saved from sin and given eternal life in heaven after this one is over. In John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And according to our passage back here in Romans, this power is for Jew and Gentile, meaning it is available to everyone, just waiting our accepting, just waiting our decision. That is why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel message. There is nothing to be ashamed about, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And I'm not ashamed to ask you right now, if you have not already placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone from salvation from your sin, you can do that right now in the privacy of your own heart. You can do it right now. Just a decision. Yes or no. Will you or will you not? If you have done that this morning, before you leave, please tell me. Just let me know, "Craig, I trusted in Christ this morning. I'm heaven bound. This won't make you any more of a Christian. It won't gain you any favor with God any more than Christ already granted you. But I'd love to be able to be praying for you as you begin your new life as a Christian." Thirdly and lastly this morning, Paul was not ashamed because the gospel reveals righteousness. The gospel reveals righteousness. Look at verse 17. It says, "For in it," the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." The word righteous actually means perfection. That's really what righteousness is. It is perfect. To be righteous is to be perfect. The story is told of the perfect man who met the perfect woman. After a perfect courtship, they had a perfect wedding, and their life together was, of course, perfect. One snowy Christmas Eve, this perfect couple was driving along a winding road when they noticed someone at the roadside in distress. Being the perfect couple, they stopped to help. There stood Santa Claus with a huge bundle of toys. Not wanting to disappoint any children on the eve of Christmas, the perfect couple loaded Santa and his toys into their vehicle. Soon they were driving along, delivering the toys. Unfortunately, the driving conditions deteriorated. The perfect couple and Santa Claus had an accident. Sadly, only one of them survived. Who survived? The perfect woman. Everybody knows there is no Santa Claus and no perfect man. And the man's response to this, which would mean the perfect woman was driving, which explains the accident. So, there is no perfect man, there is no perfect woman, okay? And that's the truth of the matter. There is no perfect man. There is no perfect woman. However, because of God's perfection, men and women may be declared righteous or perfect because of the righteousness of God. It has been revealed in the gospel. This righteousness is of God, and this is speaking really of God's perfection right here. In all of His attributes, He's perfectly loving, perfectly just, perfectly true, perfectly moral, perfectly sovereign, perfectly holy, and nothing imperfect can be in His presence. In fact, Psalm 5:4 says, "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you." This righteousness that is revealed is the righteousness of God. Also, this righteousness is revealed in Christ. Jesus demonstrated exactly who God is. Jesus is the exact image, the exact representation of God in human flesh because He is God. He is perfectly loving, perfectly just, perfectly true, perfectly holy. That's Jesus Christ. In John 15:13, Jesus, demonstrating or speaking of His love, said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." This righteousness is revealed in Christ. Thirdly, this righteousness is from faith to faith. I love the way this is worded here because it's actually expressing a genealogy of sorts. The very first person that was ever saved was saved by grace through faith. Going all the way back as far as we can go into the book of Genesis, the Old Testament, salvation from sin came through that one believing what God said. That's what salvation was, by God's grace, through their believing in what He said, through faith. And then that message of being saved through faith was communicated to another, and they believed. And they communicated to another, and they believed, right down to you and I, from faith to faith, as it is written. It is the Word of God. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we are seen as righteous and perfect in God's eyes. Because our sins have been taken away. They've been washed away. From faith to faith, man has been made perfect. This righteousness is communicated through what has been written. And this is simply saying what we've already said. As we look at all of the accounts in Scripture, as we look at all of the writings and prophecies, they all communicate the same thing. Righteousness, perfection, salvation is through faith. It is through faith. It is through trusting God at His Word. In Acts 10:43, it says, "To Him, Jesus, all of the prophets witnessed that through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sins." And then fifthly, this righteousness is received, as we've said, through faith, as it is written. Habakkuk, the quote here, we have a quote at the end of verse 17 from Habakkuk 2:4, says, "The just shall live by faith." In Genesis 15:6, it says, "Abraham believed the Lord, and He accounted it to him for righteousness." Jesus in John 6:47, He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in Me has everlasting life. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Paul was not ashamed of this message, for this is the only way that one may be declared righteous and enter the presence of God after this life. Jesus Himself said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. Paul was bold because this message is critical. It is critical. Sergio, I have a bucket of water right here. It is just water, so it won't stain.
Okay.
Would you mind if I dump this over your head?
I would.
From the fellow behind him, yes. This is how we approach sharing the gospel sometimes. We go up to people and we ask, is it okay if I share this with you? As if you know, we have to get their approval first. Now, let me ask you, if your hair was on fire, would you want me to ask first or just dump it on you? All right. That is the boldness that we need to have, okay? There are people that are destined for the fires of hell. And we have a bucket of water, the living water, the river of life. Dump it on them. Dump it on them. It is good news. It is critical. Why are we not bold? It has the power to save a person from the fires of hell, and it can propel a person unto righteousness and eternal life in the presence of God. Be not ashamed of that. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, oh Lord, we do thank you so much that you wooed us unto yourself, that you had others of the faith come to us and share this good news message boldly. And Lord, that your truth penetrated our hearts and that we believed it and became your children. Father, I pray that you would make us bold. Make us bold, Lord God, I pray. I pray that we would not be ashamed of this life-giving message. That's all I want, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.